Amen. Aren't you glad you're here today to be able to be in God's presence and worship the Lord freely? I mean, goodness, what you mentioned, Pastor Carlton, about the Nigerians, I mean, that is one of many other stories. We wouldn't have enough time to go out over all that's going on around the world because of knowing Jesus. So we have so much to be thankful for. It doesn't mean that we won't ever have to face that. But we're grateful and thankful right now for the freedoms that we have and the protections that we do have. All the more we should be praying for those in other countries, those Christians that are dealing with unbearable things that we can't even mention. So when you do pray, think of those that are persecuted across the country, across the globe, across the world. Amen. We cannot forget about that. Our job to pray and intercede for them. So thankful for our veterans. I come from a family line. Three of the four of my grandparents served. My grandfather served in the World Wars in the Army, and my grandmother, Ruth Mizell, she was in the Navy, and she actually was one of the Rosie the Riveters. She served on an all-women team back in the day, and they would fix the B-17s. So she would talk about how they would tape the tools to their body as they climbed into the plane to fix them. Pretty amazing, when you think of legacy and you think of where you've come from. I'm so grateful for that. My grandmother, even during that era, that time, she didn't get married till she was much older. She was in her 30s when she got married. And back in that day, that was like, you know, that was rough back in that day. And she ended up marrying my grandfather, Riley Mizell, and he had been married before and he had kids. And so it's interesting when you start to figure out like your connection and your family lineage. And I always thought, you know, man, I don't really fit into my family until I started learning stories about my grandmother Ruth, and there's so much connection. And I'm so thankful for heritage. I'm so thankful for legacy. I'm so thankful for family. I'm thankful for our military, and I, although all that stuff is not perfect, I'm thankful and grateful that we are able to be here today without fear, right? So much to be grateful for. So again, to reiterate what Pastor Carlton said, for those that come from a family line where you have grandmas or grandpas or aunts or uncles that have served, thank you. And, you know, right now our son-in-law and our daughter was in the military. Our son-in-law is in the military serving in the Army. And so it's beautiful to see those things continue, you know. And we're grateful for those that are serving even currently. So continue to pray, you know, for our military. Pray for those that are giving of their lives in ways that we will never understand. And so just a little side note there. So, well, I'm excited for this series this month. I love studying the life of Joseph. I don't know about you, but there's different ways to read the Bible. You can read it all the way through. You can study characters, you can study themes, and I love to do character studies. I love to look at a person's life and to see how God has interacted with them and the lessons that they're learning and how God loves them through all of it. And Joseph, it's a fun journey. His journey wasn't fun, but studying how God interacted with him is fun because there's so much that we can relate to. And so if you missed last week, you can check it out on our podcast or our website, our Facebook. But we're in a series called Meant for Good. I mean, even that alone, like when I was putting this together, it was like, oh, that alone is just, you can feel the pain of it, right? And we understand that God's ways are not our ways and that his plan is perfect. We also realize that we're going to walk through things in life that aren't going to be ideal, that are going to be painful and heartbreaking and test us. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through hard times. God never said that we would be perfect. We'd have perfect lives, but he always promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. So that we can trust, that we can hang on to. Amen? And so today we're going to look into a little bit more of Joseph's journey as he was in prison and as he was making relationships with some of the different characters and how God was positioning him for purpose in the midst of it all, that he was maybe forgotten, but not forsaken. And I want that to sit with you right now. Somebody needs to hear that today. You might feel forgotten right now, but you're not forsaken. The world might have forgotten, your family might have forgotten you, your friends, whatever. You might feel left out, forgotten, but not forsaken. Amen. So let's pray as we get into scripture today. Father, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for ministering to us as we worshiped you. God, we pray for the next few moments as we get into the word. Illuminate truth. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. God, thank you that you've given us scripture so that we can grow and learn and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God, thank you that you've given us the word so that we know the ways to walk, so that we know your character, so that we can do the best we can to reflect your love to this world. Open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts for these next few moments. And God, I trust that you will do what only you can do, Holy Spirit, for each individual and the needs that they have. God, you know what each person is needing today. And so, Father, we pray, God, that you will do what only you can do. Speak to the hearts that need hope, to the ones that need joy, to the ones that need forgiveness and mercy. God, I pray that they would be able to receive from you today all that you have. In your precious name, amen. So I think it's a question that we probably all could say yes to, but have you ever felt forgotten? You forgot, left out, looked over? That's not a fun feeling, right? Nobody likes that feeling. Maybe you've done everything right in your life. You lived according to the holy book, right? You made all the right decisions. You served faithfully. You helped others. You prayed consistently. But when you needed help, when you needed someone to show up, no one seemed to remember. No one seemed to really show up for you. Anybody been there? Unfortunately, we are human, right? As humans, we miss it a lot. Whether that's in a family or a relationship, we can miss each other. We can miss the fact that someone's going through something and we need to be there for them because we got our own stuff. We got our eyes on our own issues and our own things, and so we're not aware of what's going on. Maybe heaven has seemed silent to you as you've prayed prayers, begged God for things, and it just feels like silence. Maybe the phone didn't ring and the promotion didn't come. Well, if you've felt any of those things, you're in good company, because I think a lot of us have been there. And that's where we find Joseph today. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be looking at Genesis 40 and 41 today. He had been faithful. Last week, we kind of did an overview of the story, but he had been faithful. And even in prison, God had given him success, even in the midst of serving time in prison. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker, and he made one simple request, and it's in Genesis 40, verse 14, and we're going to look at a bunch of different verses, but if you go to verse 14, it says this. This was his request. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. Now, again, if you go back, he's in prison because he was falsely accused of coming on to Potiphar's wife, right? So here he is in prison, not because he did anything wrong. And so he's asking for help. He's saying, hey, when you go before Pharaoh, let him know that I'm here. Don't let him forget about me. Skip on to verse 23 in chapter 40. Down at the bottom, it says, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, he gets out. But he forgets all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. And so we find Joseph in this space, in this scenario, where he had already interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and, you know, he'd been helpful to them. And now they're no longer in jail. And he's saying, can you please don't forget about me? And we find the story being exactly, that's exactly where he finds himself, forgotten, but not forsaken. A pastor once told the story of a woman who planted tulip bulbs before winter. Has that ever happened to anybody? For months, nothing happened. The ground was frozen, the soil looked dead, but underneath the surface, life was preparing to bloom. I think a lot of times we find ourselves in that space underneath the dirt. God's doing a great work, a deep work in our heart. Maybe he's healing, maybe he's growing us, maturing us in Christ, and it's under the dark, damp, wet of the dirt, and nothing has sprung up yet. We can get discouraged, we can get disillusioned, but underneath the surface, life was preparing to bloom. When spring came, you know the story, you know what happened. Well, beauty broke through the ground. Well, that's Joseph's story, and maybe it's yours too. When you can't see anything happening, God is still working beneath the surface. When you don't see it happening, God is working beneath the surface, positioning you for purpose. Think about that for a moment. Can you relate to that? Does that connect to your heart? I look at my life, I look over my life, and I look at the whole thing, the whole picture. And I can see, like we talked about last week, the tapestry of how God has worked all things together for good, for his good. He's used all the brokenness, all the pieces for his glory. And he'll do it for you too, if we allow him, all right? So let me just talk a little bit about God's purpose in hidden places, all right? In verses 1 through 4 in Genesis, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but Joseph meets the cupbearer and the baker, these two individuals who somehow had made the Pharaoh mad and they were in prison. Joseph's now in a place where he's overseeing in prison. He's doing the work that he was doing in other places, even though he's in prison. Even in hardship, Joseph continues to serve faithfully. His character shines bright. He doesn't withdraw in bitterness. I know we've talked about that. You know, when he was in the pit, when he was sold as a slave, there's all kinds of opportunities that he could be choosing to act and respond differently, but he has not. He stayed faithful to the Lord, and he's trusted the Lord in the midst of all these really hard things. And God has continued to be with him, right? That we talked about last week. God continues to be with him and give him favor. The two men have these disturbing dreams, and Joseph notices their distress. Interpreting dreams is God's business, he says to them. And so he says, tell me your dreams. Joseph directs all the glory to God. Despite his own problems, his faith remains. Joseph ends up interpreting the dreams and goes through the whole process of what they mean. And for one, it means he's going to be restored back into the kingdom. And for the other, it means that he was going to be put to death. So, now, again, great opportunity from the Lord that he was being faithful, and two different very outcomes. Joseph's purpose didn't start in Pharaoh's palace. It started in the dark, forgotten prison cell. I don't know if you guys know this, but in culture of ancient Egypt, prisons were not for reform. They weren't meant to help people be better, okay? Think about just the day and age and the technology that they didn't have back then in prisons, right? They were holding cells for the forgotten. Prisoners had no rights. They had no future. They had no voice. And oftentimes, they'd probably just get forgotten and then die. Yet this is where God refined Joseph's character and his voice. You don't have to be in the palace to live a life on purpose. God's purpose can grow in the shadows of a workplace, in the quiet of your home, or in the struggle of your waiting season. Maybe you're in a holding pattern right now, a place where nothing seems to be moving. I think some of you can relate. You're in a place where you've got dreams, you've got desires, you've got things that you're looking forward to, and you're just in a holding pattern. Maybe it's relating to college or marriage or wanting to have kids or a different career. Or maybe just God's plan and his destiny. You're just in a place of holding. Anybody? Am I talking to anybody out there today? Okay, like two of you? Just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, I got to spice it up sometimes, and I feel like, you guys are good, okay? If you stay faithful, though, God is forming your character in private. And I know that's not fun, you guys. But before he gets you anywhere public, he's going to work on you in private. And you want him to. You want him to. You want him to do the deep, dark work of your character before he ever moves you into promotion. So even though it's difficult, embrace the season that you're in. Embrace the holding pattern. Embrace the waiting. Because God is in it. He's working. He's developing. He's calling you. Faithfulness in obscurity prepares you for fruitfulness when the opportunity shows up. I'm going to say that again, as that's a lot. Faithfulness in obscurity prepares you for fruitfulness when the opportunity comes. May the Lord get us prepared for when the opportunity comes. Amen. I know last week we talked about God's delays are not his denials. God's delays are not his denials. It may feel like it to you, but he's working, he's planning. So turn with me to Genesis 40, verse 23, and then we're going to go into 41. We're going to read some scripture here. So however you have your Bible, device, whatever, I'm going to be reading from the NLT. But we finished chapter 40, and again, I already read it, but we're at the point where Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought, all right? So then we go into chapter 41, all right? Look at this. 2 full years later, he's in prison for 2 more years, forgotten, left behind, doing what he's doing, serving the Lord. Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing in the bank of the Nile River. In his dream, he saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. Then he saw 7 more cows come up behind them in the Nile, but these were scrawny and thin. These cows stood beside the fat cows on the riverbank. Then the scrawny, thin cows ate the 7 healthy fat cows. At this point in the dream, Pharaoh woke up, and he was terrified, of course. Verse 5, but again, he fell asleep again and had a second dream. This time he saw 7 heads of grain, plump and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then 7 more heads of grain appeared, but these were shriveled and withered by the east wind. And these thin heads swallowed up the 7 plump, well-formed heads. Then Pharaoh woke up again and realized it's a dream. All right, so Pharaoh's having these dreams, and none of his magicians, none of his spiritual people of the time could help. Could bring no relief to him for these dreams that he's having. Verse 8, the next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by these dreams. So he called for all the magicians and all the wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them his dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. Finally, here's where some restoration happens. Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. So he's now remembering what Joseph said, to not forget him, right? 2 years later, right? He says, today I have been reminded of my failure. At least he's owning it, right? We'll give him that. He told Pharaoh, some time ago you were angry with the chief baker and me, and you imprisoned us in the palace of the captain of the guard. One night the chief baker and I each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. Here's where it comes in. Verse 12, there was a young Hebrew man with us in prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he told us each what our dreams meant. And everything happened just as he predicted. I was restored to my position as cupbearer, and the chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, you can imagine, and was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. So finally, Joseph is getting this opportunity to be able to be used of the Lord, right? Out of prison, seen for his gifts. Incredible, incredible what God has done. Again, think about yourself. What opportunities of bitterness and anger and hatred that he could even have towards the cupbearer, right? For forgetting him, not even remembering him. But in the midst of that, he doesn't focus on that. 2 years passed, two silent years. And then Pharaoh had a dream, and now suddenly Joseph was remembered. All of a sudden, now he's back on the scene. The timing was divine. In Psalms 105:19, it says this, until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. So over and over and over, you watch as Joseph's character is being tried and tested. So listen, if that's happening to you, you're not alone. These accounts in the Bible are not just stories. These are historical things that happened. They're recorded. And they're given so that we can understand what God wants to do in us and through us and how he relates to us. Those 2 years in prison were not wasted. Do you know God doesn't waste anything in your life? I think it's hard for us to accept that. Because that means the pain and the suffering and the loss, the heartbreak, the sickness, death. That means, ooh, okay, God, I have to trust you in all of that. When it doesn't make sense, when I don't understand, when I see you doing it for others and it doesn't seem like you're doing it for me. You see, God was aligning Pharaoh's dream with Joseph's destiny. See, Egypt at the time was the world's most powerful nation. And it was about to become the stage for God's plan, right? God's big plan to preserve his covenant Israel. He needed Joseph to be in Egypt. He needed him to be there. The famine that would soon strike Egypt was the same famine that would later bring Jacob and his sons, which the future tribes of Israel, into Egypt, where God would shape them into a nation. All of that needed to happen. So even Joseph's delay was part of God's larger redemptive plan. You may feel today delayed, but you're not denied. God's silence is not his absence. He's working through circumstances that you can't see, aligning people and timing and opportunity. He's putting it all together like a perfect puzzle. Your waiting season is not wasted. I promise you, it's preparation for the coming revelation. I know I've mentioned this before, but when I was young, I had these desires to be married and do all these things, and it had a timeline, and it looked a certain way, and it didn't work out that way. There were so many years where I spent waiting for God's best, waiting for dreams to come true, waiting for family. There are things, even when Chuck and I got married and the girls were young, we talked about, should we have our own family as well? And we were like, no, we're going to focus on building a family. There are all kinds of things that you lay down in those seasons of waiting and trusting the Lord. It's difficult. It's hard. But when you have the Lord with you, it's possible to get through it. Amen? Delay is God's classroom. How you doing? How's it going? Yeah? Here's a quick tip. The sooner you learn what you gotta learn, you get to move on out of that classroom. But if you don't learn, then you get to go in that classroom again and again and again. And so I've kind of come from that point of like, okay, Lord, help, go to my face. I need you. Change what you need to change. Show me what you need to show me. I don't need to be in this pain, heartbreak forever, right? And so delay is God's classroom. What feels like waiting time is just training time. We're all being trained, right, to be more like Christ. He's chipping off all the things that we've built and we've put up as protection, right, to be who we are. And he's like, no, I want you to be like me. I want you to reflect my heart and my love. And so he's got to chip away things. And often the fire of life and circumstances are used, right, to help in those spaces. Isaiah 55:8 says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. We are such finite beings. We don't comprehend the God of the universe that created all of the heavens, things that we can't even measure, the depths of the ocean. That God has created plans and purposes for our lives and for who we are. We don't have it figured out. But so often we want our way. We want our way. We think we've got it figured out, that our way is better. And the truth is, his way is better. He knows best. If we would just trust him, if we would, like Joseph, surrender and submit and be faithful. And when we do that, you watch God's favor and his success come upon your life. You'll live a blessed life because of that. Not perfect and not without trouble. Got it? The trouble still comes. But God promotes with purpose. He's got a purpose and a plan. Turn with me to Genesis 41. We're going to look at a couple more scriptures. Verse 38 through 46. Going back to verse 37, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours." So Joseph is getting promoted like big time over in the entire Egypt. The only one higher than him is the Pharaoh. Crazy. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, "Kneel down." So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. We're watching these dreams. We're watching this destiny unfold, coming to fruition. And Pharaoh said to him, "I am Pharaoh." So he was making sure, you know, "I'm Pharaoh, but no one else will lift a hand or a foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval." Joseph is being elevated and promoted to a place of position that he could not even have dreamed in the pit after he was sold by his brothers. Can you imagine that he even had the... Here he's trusting the Lord all the way, doing the small things, being faithful, and he keeps getting success and promotion. Incredible. Then Pharaoh gave Joseph a new Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paneah. He also gave him a wife whose name was Asenath. She was the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. So Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old. Let's get this. 30 years old when he began serving the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land. 30, that's super young. He had a lot going on from the time he was sold until then. But look what God has done. He took all of the trial and all of the heartbreak and everything that was difficult, and now he's in a place and a position over all the land of Egypt. Can you see how good God is? When we put our trust in him and our faith in him, what he can do with our life, with the brokenness and the mess. In a single day, Joseph went from the prison to prime minister. But the promotion wasn't really about power. It was about purpose, and it was about destiny, and it was about what God was doing. You see, through Joseph, God would save nations from the famine and preserve the family of Israel, through whom the Messiah would come. Now, again, you have to understand God's redemptive plan is always bigger than the one thing we're looking at. By positioning Joseph there, God ensured that his covenant people would survive and grow in the land of Goshen, setting the stage for the Exodus generations to come later. Joseph's rise to power was not random. It was strategic providence of God. Isn't that beautiful? When God elevates you, it's not for comfort, but it's for his kingdom. It's for his purposes. When God blesses you with influence, it's not just to bless you, but it's to bless others. your promotion in life, at work, wherever, your promotion is not about the position, but it's about purpose. God promotes you so that his plan can flow through you. Amen? So let me just share a couple of practical principles as we've looked at this today. Faithfulness in obscurity prepares you for fruitfulness and opportunity. Remember this, delay is not, what's the word? Delay is not denial, it's development. When God elevates you, stay humble and remember who brought you there. And remember this, God remembers when others forget. God remembers when others forget. Hebrews 6:10 says this, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do." God won't forget what you've done and who you are, your character, and he will bless you accordingly. Matthew 25:21 says this, "The master was full of praise. He says, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities.'" That's the goal, to be faithful in the little things, right? So that God can give us whatever the plan is, whatever the purpose is, but it will start in the pit. It'll start in the prison of your life. It'll start when you felt rejected and left behind. What will you do with that opportunity? Joseph's journey from the pit to the prison teaches us this. I've already said it. God doesn't waste. He doesn't waste a season. He doesn't waste a moment. Every delay, every disappointment, every detour is all part of the plan. Maybe today as you're sitting here, you feel it. You feel in it. I feel forgotten. I feel left behind. You've been overlooked. Sometimes you might feel that even from God. Like, where are you, God? You haven't shown up. You've served and you've prayed and you've been faithful. And it just seems like nothing is changing. Those prayers aren't getting answered. But just remember, like Joseph, you're not forsaken. You're not forsaken. You're being positioned. So do this. Stay faithful in the prison because your palace is coming. Stay humble in the waiting. And we need a strength for that. We can't do that on our own. Because your moment is being prepared. God is still writing your story, you guys. Each one of us. God is writing our story. And he knows better than you. He knows better than you. Amen? In a moment, I'm going to play a video. And it is an older video, and it comes from a kind of like a cartoon movie. You guys remember The Prince of Egypt, that movie from a long ago? Well, there was a second movie kind of similar called Joseph, the King of Dreamers. And there's a song on there, and it's so good because it's the prayer of Joseph, the surrender of his heart. And I think for some of us here today, we connect with that. We relate to that. And I want to read a few of the lyrics, and then we're going to play that. And as it plays, I want you just to ask the Lord, what does this look like for me? How do I connect into this? The words go like this. I thought I did what's right. I thought I had the answers. I thought I chose the surest road, but that road brought me here. So I put up a fight. I told you how to help me. Now just when I have given up, the truth is coming clear. You know better than I. You know the way. I've let go the need to know why, for you know better than I. This is song. This is Joseph's surrender, right? And it can be yours too today. In this moment when you stop trying to control the outcome and start trusting the one who controls the plan, then we can say, right, you know better than I. So let's watch this clip and then we'll close. Kim, if there's a way to repeat that without the video on the screen, I don't know if there is, but there is. I've let go the need to know why, for you know better than I. Some of you in here today, like me, you struggle with that. And we've got to get to a point where we've got to let go the need to know why. Why this? Why that? Why is this happening? Why is it? I'll take what answers you supply, for you know better than I. Arabella, would you mind just jumping on the piano as we... It's okay, Kim. We'll play the piano, no worries. Just close your eyes for this moment. Are you here today and you know you need to give up the need to know why? You need to give it up. You need to let it down. You need to surrender. You're in a season of waiting or disappointment or uncertainty. God is whispering to you today. Not forgotten. I am still positioning you for purpose. He knows better. His ways are higher. And we've got to trust him. That no matter what it looks like, that he knows better. If you're here today and you know you're struggling with this place of waiting, this place of denial, and your prayer is this, God, I trust you even when I can't see it. I believe that you're working, and you want that to be your prayer, but today you're struggling and you need the strength to be able to say that. That's you here today. I want to just be able to pray for you, that God would give you the strength to trust him, that God would help you to be able to lay down your rights, to be able to lay down your ideas and trust him that his ways are better. That's you in this place. Put your hand up just so I can see it, so I can pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I see the hand. The Lord sees your heart more importantly. Amen. Yep. You can put your hands down. Amen. Amen. God sees you. And more importantly, he sees your heart's desire that you want to lay down your right and you want to follow Jesus. So let this be your prayer today. Lord, you know better than I. You know better than I. I trust your timing. I trust your plan. Position me for your purpose, Jesus. God, I pray right now for those that raise their hand. God, I pray, Jesus, that you would just give them strength, Father, that you would come, show up in their life, Father, and give them all that they're needing right now. Encourage their heart, bring them hope. Father, I pray that they would be able to trust you in this season, even to greater degrees than they have. God, I pray that they would be able to lay down their own rights, be able to submit to you and surrender their heart and their soul, their desires, their thoughts, Lord, and just trust you, Jesus, that your plan is for good. God, that you meant it for good, even though it doesn't feel like it. And so, God, I pray right now that you're just ministering to those that need to hear that today. They're not forsaken. They might feel forgotten, but God, you are there ministering to them. And Lord, we thank you. As we're here in this moment, I just want to make sure, as we're talking about this God that loves us, Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins and pay the price for us so that we could be invited into life, into eternity. And I just want to, before we go any farther, give opportunity. If you're here and you have never asked Jesus into your heart, or maybe it's been a really long time and you want to recommit your life to Jesus in this moment, surrendering to him, and I want to follow you, Jesus, with my whole heart and my whole life. If that's you here today too, I want to make sure and give you opportunity. Just put your hand up as well. I want to be able to pray for you this morning before we move on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. stand to our feet here in this moment. Let me pray for you. I hope you're enjoying this series that we're in and being challenged and encouraged. I would encourage you to go to Genesis and read the entire story all the way through. It's incredible. There's so much that we will continue to unpack. We've got some more weeks that we're going to be looking at his life and learning from Joseph. If you're here today, we're going to close here in a moment. We're going to ask our altar prayer to come up. If you have a prayer need today, you need someone to meet with you and agree with you in prayer, please do that. Don't leave this place without touching God, without allowing the Lord to minister to you. So, Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for speaking to us. God, we thank you that no matter what we're facing, God, that we're not alone and that you promised that you'd be with us. And so, Father, I pray as we leave today that we would leave knowing we go in your power, we go in your might, and Lord, that we can trust you in the hardest times. Knowing that ultimately, God, you have plans and purposes that we don't understand and we don't see. So God, help us to surrender to your will. Help us to follow your path and not our own. Help us to trust you in greater ways. We thank you, Jesus, that we do that all by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, but through you. So Father, we thank you so much in your precious name. Amen.